Market Watch is proudly brought to you by Top Sport, home of the Top Sport betting multi. Gamble responsibly. Call 1-800-858-858.
What about a market, overall market, Tristan? And has there been any change over the course of the week two results?
We've just seen the Aussies tighten up a little bit. They were $1.50. They're into $1.45. New Zealand, $4.80, a clear second favourite. England at $6. So they've obviously been the biggest mover, but that was after their round one victory. Tonga 16 and Samoa 26, and it gets pretty wide after that. So $1.45 Australia, $4.80 New Zealand, and $6 England. Look the three there. But as you say, with Tamalolo back for Tonga, you'd expect a significant uplift there. And Samoa at $26, that being the two biggest drifters. So as you said at the outset of the tournament, Jimmy, you've got to time your run in these sort of events. So whether those two sides can improve themselves enough to make themselves competitive with those top three, we'll know pretty shortly when we get out to the knockout phases.
And Jimmy, just recapping for our listeners. So we have Group A and Group D on one side of the draw. Yep. We have Group B and Group C on the other side of the draw. So what I think that then leads us to in the quarterfinal matchup is that England will come through as the top seed and play PNG, who are the seed number two. Tonga will end up coming through as the top seed on the other side against Samoa. Yep. And then we have Australia likely up against Lebanon and New Zealand up against Fiji. I think that sets up for some very good quarterfinals. I think on the Australia-New Zealand side, we expect that both of those win through and then match up in the semi-final, which we've all been looking at for many months. I think the other side is very interesting because England-PNG, I'll be very interested in what the line comes up there next week when we look at that game, because PNG have been, performing and growing week by week. I'm not yet convinced that England are as good as some of their results or some of the English media think that they might be. And then we have Tonga and Samoa. Samoa, incredibly disappointing week one, aimed up again last week, but against no opponent. They'll come through and play, obviously, Tonga, and that will just be a clash of the ages. And the island interest, the crowd interest, the atmosphere in that game will just be, I think, one of the highlights of the last couple of weeks.
And it's interesting what you say with crowds and all that. It's great to get the insight of Steve Mascord, who's over there covering the tournament for the BBC, who's the renowned international journalist. Heavy ticket discounting just prior to games is commonplace in English rugby league. That, in fact, even for a Challenge Cup, he said people will wait 24 hours out before the event and then they'll buy their ticket. They haven't been doing it, the Rugby League World Cup, on these occasions. They've taken the games to bigger stadiums. So the crowds don't look great, but already they've sold £1 million more than they did in 2013, and they've outstripped what the tournament earned in 2017. Now, that might be a function of foreign exchange and all that sort of stuff. However, I'm looking at it thinking, it's a little bit disappointing, the crowds, but there are reasons for that. And in actual fact, the Rugby League World Cup, which is where the IRL get all their funding, basically, has actually been a success thus far. And I would imagine that they start going into these quarterfinals, semifinals, where already ticket sales have been excellent. So it's a fillip for the tournament. And I asked Steve about the lopsided nature of some of the results, and he said, miserabilists, who are the ones who are decrying the results, would be interested to know that the score that New Zealand were looking to eclipse their highest ever winning margin against Jamaica when Ben Jones Bishop scored that try, they missed out on that, was actually a game in 1999 v Tonga. So here we are 23 years later, and Tonga is almost a tier one nation. Now, there's lots of other things that go into that, but I thought that was an interesting part of it, Jared.
And that was the point I wanted to touch on too, Jimmy. I agree totally. Yes, we're going to see some lopsided results, but we need to have this type of international competition on a regular basis. And if we look at the development at an international level over the last 8 years, across the last couple of World Cups and or Four Nations, we now see that we have Tonga and Samoa, as you suggest, competing at a tier one level or certainly having that massive following and now having so many of their players wanting to represent them at that level. All of a sudden, Lebanon certainly been very competitive, as have Ireland to a degree. as have France are growing back. And then we look at the development of the Cook Islands and Papua New Guinea. I mean, I think for what the World Cup needs to represent and the growth of the game, I think it's been a fantastic tournament, and we're going to see those seeds out of this tournament grow into what unfolds with international football in so many of those different countries over the next 3 to 5 years.
The one question mark on that, and this is the concern for all people, is what does the international calendar look like moving forward? No one has a clue. The NRL just came out and said, international weekend, it's out. So we're going back to three state of origins on a Wednesday night. So that's the concern on that. Back to the point you made about PNG, Edwin Aipapa and Roderick Tai, when you've got NRL clubs start going, well, hang on a minute, who are these guys? These guys look NRL class. That's when you know that you've got some of these smaller nations that are, and look, PNG's been doing it for a long time, but they're going to be supplying some players into the National Rugby League.